In Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The families of Israeli hostages received a letter from the Israeli government telling them the process of releasing their loved ones will begin Monday morning. As the ceasefire continues, President Trump's daughter Ivanka told the families of hostages Saturday,
"As we stand here together in Tel Aviv, we honor the strength of every family waiting, praying, and believing."
President Trump departs Washington today to head to the region. He told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth Saturday to use all available funds to ensure members of the military are paid October 15th. They stand to miss paychecks because of the government shutdown. And layoff notices went out to over 4,000 government workers Friday, but CDC officials tell ABC News some of those employees were laid off in error because of what they called a coding mistake. And Hollywood paying tribute to Diane Keaton after the Oscar winner's death at 79. This is ABC News. Authorities in Tennessee say they believe 16 people were killed in Friday's explosion at a weapons manufacturing plant west of Nashville. The ATF is now investigating to determine a cause, and Tyra Cunningham, the assistant special agent in charge, says,
"While this investigation is still in this early stage, at this point, the cause of this explosion has not yet been determined."
In Huntington Beach, California, five people were rushed to hospitals after a helicopter crash. Two were pulled from the wreckage of the helicopter. Three others on the ground were hurt. There is no word on what caused the crash. The city, in a news release, said it was associated with a cars and copters event scheduled for today. And former President Biden has a new update on his treatment for prostate cancer. A spokesman announced Saturday that he is undergoing radiation therapy in addition to hormone treatment. Biden announced he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer in May. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Policy experts are urging Congress to extend Affordable Care Act tax credits. They're warning that premiums could more than double if there's no action taken. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Policy experts are calling on Congress to not only extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits, but to address the broader issue of rapidly rising health care costs that threaten to crush hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites. Angela Hanks with the nonprofit Century Foundation says many are now faced with a worsening health care affordability crisis caused by deliberate policy choices in Congress. Legislation passed over the summer would result in up to 15 million people losing Medicaid or health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, with enhanced ACA tax credits set to expire at the end of the year.
We've put that as an average enrollee paying over $1,000 more next year for their health care if Congress takes no action this year.
An analysis from the foundation shows rural counties will be disproportionately affected, with enrollees potentially facing a 28% higher cost increase than those in urban areas. Wisconsin saw a record 18% jump in ACA marketplace enrollment this year. year, with more than 313,000 people purchasing a plan. Insurance companies have already reported their rates for the next year, projecting an average 18% increase in premiums for ACA plans across the board. That's the largest increase in more than 5 years. This means ACA enrollees face both rising premiums and the potential loss of tax credits that help make insurance affordable. Hank stresses that healthcare affordability is not a partisan issue, noting that more than 3/4 of Americans want to see the tax credits continue, including 2/3 of Republicans. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. More sunshine than clouds and pleasant for today, with a high in the upper 60s and a little breezy. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of showers late, lows in the mid-50s. And there could be an early shower on Monday, then some clearing and a high near 70. It's 55 right now.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Double fisted right there, man. Saturday. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and fellas, you know, doing John and Gordy again this past Thursday morning. And John was, he's like, I just love that educated educators talking education line. He's like, hey, I just love it. So, you know, it's good to know we've got a fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got a few more. We got Jacob, the producer. We got Jacob's grandpa.
I was going to say, I forgot. Jacob's grandfather. That's
we got that. We got a few. We got Matt Damon's mom, Matt right? Damon's mom, we got... Yeah.
We got your colleagues in Finland.
Absolutely. The Finns are listening. You know, we've got a few. We've got a couple there, Tim. You know, yeah. Don't sell yourself short.
No.
Don't fill your brain with all that negative self-talk.
I was making fun because I really enjoy Thursday mornings getting on with John and Gordy. And actually, Johnny, Gordy was in Chicago for the protests, and Catherine Lake was guest hosting, and got to, you know, hang out with Catherine for a little bit. And Johnny, I reminded her that without Catherine Lake, Civic Media and Busted Pencils and, you know, where we are today wouldn't have happened without Catherine Lake. She was the one who
agreed.
Said, she's like, you guys are like the car talk of education, man. We got to get get you on more often and get you some more, you know, what do you want to say? Putting a little bit of a light on what we do here at Busted Pencils. So it was fun hanging out with Catherine, fun hanging out with John. Glad to know that they love the educated educators talking education. And
but Tim, with two guys with as much hot air as we have, all it took was somebody with a hot air balloon to come by and say, hey, these guys have hot air. I have a hot air balloon. Let's fly. And boy, did we ever. Catherine Lake, she did pump our tires. Hey, and
yeah.
Give us some confidence and say, you know, keep talking about education because you guys say it so well. It's the bedrock of democracy. Mm. Right. And we have to be, if we're not talking about what's happening in our schools and we're having a political discussion about strengthening democracy, we're missing an important key facet of that. And we said, look, you're speaking our language here. That's what we're talking about. So, hey, the more we got together and talked, especially with Catherine, The more the magic happened. Hey,
yeah. Remember, you know, I said, love doing the podcast drops Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Love making sure that there's a full 1 hour Saturday show. But I don't think we would
Saturday broadcast, baby.
I don't think we'd be able to do what it is we do had Catherine not said, you guys are doing 5 days a week live call in radio for a while. And boy, that was. Let's be honest. That was fun, but man, challenging to do. As you say, you know, kind of like thrown into the crucible there and learn to, you know, kind of roll with it and take things in. And here we are, the professional broadcasters that we are right now. Everybody out in civic media land listening is like, my goodness, I thought you guys were real pros. You know, come on. We're just some educated educators talking education. And now that we've added Jacob, chairman of the board, to the mix,
woo,
watch out. Jacob, what do you, you know, I mean, you got big plans for us, don't you?
I've got a lot of big plans. I don't want to say anything. Okay, but
huge.
Let's just say we might get you guys with Ben Affleck. I'm just putting it out there. It's a possibility.
Whoa. Okay.
Now, by that, I mean I'm going to send him an Instagram DM and we'll see. I probably not. But for the folks out there, I want them to get hyped about possibilities down the way.
I mean, he's definitely an educated guy who likes to talk about education. So I'm sure it'd be great conversation.
We need to expand our pool of potential guests. Yeah. We can get anybody.
Everybody, get everybody in the pool. Let's go.
Get
it's
your
a pool
trunks.
Party. Jacob's throwing.
Yes. I don't know. As long as there's no peeing in the pool, though.
Then I'm not
going.
Boy.
There we go.
Well, but you know, we do have that pool though, that if that happens, it turns purple. So, you know,
you've got the gotcha pool.
Yeah, we got the gotcha pool. You know, that pool that they tell you, it was a little kid. They're like, if you pee in this pool,
well, speaking though, Tim, speaking about peeing in pools and also speaking about just getting thrown into the crucible of things. You know, I can remember getting thrown into the crucible of school.
Oh,
at the ripe young age of almost turning. I think I was probably 5. I don't think I was quite yet the appropriate age for what we're talking about today. Well, tangent to what we're talking about today. But Tim, this week we've kicked the story around a little bit here at Busted Pencils. Mm-hmm. It's certainly been mulled over in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you even like John and Gordy and other shows have, you know, tickled this story a bit, have touched on what's happening in New York with kindergarten, not just any old kindergarten though, because in New York, many, you know, for all you New Yorkers listening, especially you Manhattan Island, like the Manhattaners, right? You know about that. You start pretty much before you even have kids in New York. And it's like this in other places too. There are certain elite preschools and early year education classrooms, to be specific, in New York. There's a guy picking on what's called gifted kindergarten education. So Tim, I thought maybe we should just talk about that today, get into things happening in New York, because it's not only in New York City. Mm-hmm. That kindergartners are increasingly evaluated, but there's this whole thing where we start sorting and calling kids in particular gifted. And I'm not picking on you if you're out there and say, hey, wait a minute, but I'm gifted. You know, don't worry. We're not here to bully you.
Johnny,
everybody's got their own unique contributions and gifts.
We're all gifted. We're all gifted on Busted Pencils.
Technically, by definition, though, if we're going like street level definition, I agree. Like, we all bring unique characteristics to the conversation. I'm bringing hot air. But the whole point of this, though, is there is an operational definition for, you know, some districts call it talented and gifted, or extraordinary talent, or gifted programs. Accelerated programs is another term for these particular tracks that start as early as preschool and kindergarten. And it's been in the headlines this week. So I thought, hey, let's chop it up a bit. Let's talk about, one, what's happening in New York. And then two, you know, our early memories of, you know, testing or not testing into talented and gifted programs. you know, might carry some scars with us into that conversation. But that, really, we've been talking about testing, Tim. We've been talking about that. And this story runs tangent to it. So I thought, well, let's get into it with our listeners.
Get into
today.
It. Put it out there. Okay, what we're talking about is, yes, in New York City. New York City, there's a mayoral race going on. Who's going to be the next mayor of New York City?
Ooh, bold prediction.
Yeah, you know, and Zohran Mamdani is going to be the Democratic nominee for mayor, having won the Democratic primary, beating Mario Cuomo. However, Mario Cuomo is going to remain in the race as an independent.
Perhaps his son, Andrew Cuomo.
Okay.
It may be his son, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and not Mario Cuomo from the 80s and 90s.
Sorry, Jacob. I had a back to the future moment or something like that. Yes.
Hold on. Tim's got to go crank up his Model T.
Andrew Cuomo. Yes. Is not going to accept the Democratic defeat and is going to run as an independent. Republican, not exactly sure. However, Zohran Mamdani won pretty decisively, has a lot of support, running as a Democrat, and has, you know, also pointed out that he's actually a Democratic socialist. If anybody wants to know what that means, Bernie Sanders is probably our best example of a Democratic socialist. We're not going to do a whole lot
about AOC.
AOC, yeah, I think AOC. Yeah, AOC too.
Champion. I like what she champions. I like those ideas.
Yeah, but Mamdani is, you know, pointing out some things that people are really excited about. However, his proposal is, Johnny, to do away with the gifted and talented kindergarten program in New York City. And you were alluding to that. Wow, why would he do that? And boy, there's like so many different ways to talk about this, because is it testing? Is it right? And as you pointed out, I mean, some people prepare their kids neonatally to get ready to be accepted into the gifted kindergarten program in New York City, because it's like a major lottery win to get into this kind of things, where it will set your future up in ways kind of incredible. And so this is one of the program proposals that isn't going over well with New York City liberal elites.
New York City!
There he is again. So the liberal elites do not like this program, pointing it out there. So
I don't like it either, Tim. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and with my fellow New Yorkers out there, if you're ruffled about this, you got to take a closer look. I'm against it, so I'm excited to get in. I mean, I'm against gifted programs. I'm a big fan of acts in these things, so I'm kind of excited about seeing this movement and this conversation for a number of reasons, but I'm glad that it's happening, and especially in New York. I mean, I think it's a great place to just drop the hammer on this. I think it's like if we're going to end a practice that I think, you know, I hate to pick on it, but my entire time teaching, I was never really a big fan of these programs, these tracks. So we could get into it, but no, I especially I'm not a fan for, you know, any determinant factor at age 5-6 years old, you know, other than, do you know where to put the pee yet or not? Right. Oh, those kinds of things.
Not in the pool.
Do you eat crayons and glue? No. Okay, good. Are you learning the alphabet? You like to sing songs and, you know, you're learning to get along with others. Great. Let's get together with other people around that same age and some of the best teachers in the country, those kindergarten teachers out there. And we learn to learn together. So I'm a big, I'm not a huge fan of the increased testing and sorting mechanisms. that are pretty closely wed to these talented and gifted programs. So I'm excited to hear that we're thinking about giving them the axe places.
Wow. Johnny Lupinacci dropping a hammer.
New York City!
Man, and a bowling ball. What, you know what? Right out there. I got to tell you, though, if you're wondering where Tim and Jacob are on this, well, when we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob, chairman of the board, when we get back.
Choo-choo!
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wow. Ooh, because they're back already. Yep. Educated educators talking education. Well, you know what that means. Busted Pencils, Civic Media Saturday. If you're listening in your car, if you're listening on your radio somewhere, you know, we appreciate it. Downloaders, we love that you also are participating whenever you can. It is, yeah, the 1 hour show. Gifted and talented. We're talking about New York City. Johnny, go ahead.
New York City!
There it is. Yes, that place. And the Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with the elite kindergarten gifted program. You got to hear where Johnny Lupinacci was. He's like, good for him, man. We need to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Like, I champion love it. This.
And yep. And I said, well, you know, you haven't heard.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this one, man.
You haven't heard from Tim and Jacob. And I was like, okay, before me, how about Jacob, chairman of the board? Jacob, what are you thinking about this? And, you know, how's this sitting in your bird's nest?
Well, over here in my nest, Tim, I think it's easy for you and Johnny to be critical because you guys were not talented or gifted as children. But for me, I was one of these talented, gifted children. I went to a cool magnet elementary school, and then I got invited to the gifted accelerated elementary school in my city where I'm from. And the same thing in middle school. I was accepted into the gifted accelerated thing. Now, I will say that I turned down both of those opportunities because I liked my friends. So I don't know if they actually work. I went there briefly, and then I said, I'm okay. I like the normal people back at the normal school.
So you dropped out of giftedness.
I did. Well, no, I didn't drop out of being gifted. I'm still awesome. But I'm more of a working man's guy. So I stuck with my blue-collar scholar crew back at the real school.
All right.
And so this proposition, I like the idea of not having these cloistered clusters of the gifted. I think everybody cloistered should be clusters. Together.
Yes.
That's the name of this episode, cloistered clusters.
Oh, my God.
But maybe you could say, well, that's all well and good for you to say that after you had these opportunities and squandered them. Don't take it away from other people. But I think overall it's good for everybody to be in one good public school. That's my thought.
Yeah. So bigger, broader issue here. So as Johnny said, yes, I'm not going to say where this is happening again, but gifted and talented, you know, I know some people who would criticize gifted and talented at any age, because typically the assessment made to determine that has largely been some form of a numerical standardized test. And we've come a long way in recognizing that children, people have all kinds of ways to demonstrate intelligence, giftedness. In fact, you know, we had Howard Gardner on the show a few months back talking about multiple intelligences. And, you know, and so when you say somebody's gifted, how do you make that determination? So any of these gifted programs, if you're a gifted advocate out there, you know, definitely leave some voicemails for us and some emails, because we'd gladly like to talk to you. But I'm always just, that's my biggest issue, is the narrowness of the determination. And then, though, too, when we talk about, Johnny, you pointed out 5-year-olds and actually 4 years old in a lot of kids, because they're rushing to get them in. And so a lot of parents will enroll their kids at age 4 if they qualified. Can a 4-year-old demonstrate giftedness on some form of a standardized assessment? And is that a valid score? And if a 4-year-old can't score gifted, is that really an assessment that they're not gifted? Because when they develop a little bit more a few years later, all of a sudden, holy crap, we missed them. And so do they get out there? I think there's a whole bunch of issues here, you know, gifted and talented as even a specialness that certain kids should get this extra attention, more opportunity, however you want to describe whatever it was you gifted and talented people got when you left the classroom and left the rest of us blue collar kids to hang out and listen to teachers drone on. But kindergarten, that's another issue that I think is incredibly important to point out, that I'm kind of really skeptical of identifying any 4- and 5-year-old as gifted. And I'm even more skeptical of saying to kids they're not at that age. The proposal here, Johnny, actually, when we dig in deep, just to make sure that we're accurate, is actually to only do away with the kindergarten gifted program, to phase back in, though, a 3rd grade acceptance into gifted programs in New York City. And so, you know, I think we got some issues. Is it too young to make a determination at that age? The blowback, as we say, the liberal elites in New York City are absolutely up in arms by this. See this as an affront. And I'm going to point out to go, of course they do, because this is a privilege that they have for so long kind of hoarded and taken up for themselves. And as you pointed out, how is it that you determine somebody's gifted in kindergarten? Well, there's usually a lot of extra resources that parents bring in birth until the age of 4 and 5 that a lot of other kids don't have the opportunity to have. So there's a whole big issue there. Jacob, I'm sorry you dropped out of giftedness. I never had the chance because I failed that test. And, you know, more though, man, lots to go on. Can't wait for Johnny Lupinacci to come back and really tell us how horrible giftedness is. We'll be right back.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The families of Israeli hostages received a letter from the Israeli government telling them the process of releasing their loved ones will begin Monday morning. As the ceasefire continues, President Trump's daughter Ivanka told the families of hostages Saturday,
"As we stand here together in Tel Aviv, we honor the strength of every family waiting, praying, and believing."
President Trump departs Washington today to head to the region. He told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth Saturday to use all available funds to ensure members of the military are paid October 15th. They stand to miss paychecks because of the government shutdown. And layoff notices went out to over 4,000 government workers Friday, but CDC officials tell ABC News some of those employees were laid off in error because of what they called a coding mistake. And Hollywood paying tribute to Diane Keaton after the Oscar winner's death at 79. This is ABC News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field, where the Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1 last night to advance to the National League Championship Series. Things got started for the crew in the bottom of the first with William Contreras at the plate, coverage on TBS.
And he pulls this one deep to left center, way back, and gone! The Brewers strike first in Game 5.
Solo home runs later from Andrew Vaughn and Bryce Turang. Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, awarded the win. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, that Miz was gassed. I would have loved to keep him in. You know, we told him to empty the tank in that last inning. He was magnificent. He who's had some bumps in the road here during his first year, for him to come back again in this same series and pitch so well.
So the Brewers host the Dodgers here tomorrow night. First pitch 7:08 for game one of the National League Championship Series. In Milwaukee with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. More sunshine than clouds and pleasant for today with a high in the upper 60s and a little breezy. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of showers late, lows in the mid-50s. And there could be an early shower on Monday, then some clearing and a high near 70. It's 55 right now.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinier is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I love coming into the third segment here because it's where we get to really drone on busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. New York City, mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani has proposed eliminating the gifted kindergartner program in New York City. We have gone all kinds of different directions talking about this. However, if you do away with it, then what would take its place? And there was a point, Johnny, I was wondering if I can get your reaction to this, saying, okay, if you're going to get rid of it, then you need to level up the game for all kindergartners to make sure that every kindergartner in New York City gets every opportunity to demonstrate how awesome they are. And then we maybe consider letting you do away with the gifted program. What do you think?
No, I think I like where you're going with that, Tim. I think, you know, people are very reactive to Zoran's, proposal here to cut, like you said, cut the gifted kindergarten programs. Because I think if we look big picture, you know, his stance and policies proposed on education emphasize universal child care, right? And so he's pledged, you know, to really work hard towards a free universal child care system, which would benefit all students. And so, you know, I think that early start, those early interventions for any kid in New York are more important and arguably have a bigger impact than, you know, sorting. And I like that you emphasize really the critique of the gifted kindergarten program isn't to, you know, end all gifted programs or end all accelerated instruction, but just saying, you know, hey, I don't think we should subject 4 and 5 year olds to a single high stakes assessment, right? It unfairly separates them at a young age, right? And so then what do you do if you're not going to have these sorting mechanisms in place? Well, then you got to have something where the standard comes up. And I think that's there in the proposed, you know, policies, primarily around universal childcare and emphasizing public school funding. Like where is that going to happen in our public schools? Well, who's paying for that? The public, right? That's the whole socialist Democrat platform, right? That's that idea here that, there's a strong social responsibility of the government to adequately fund public schools and especially to provide childcare, right? And I know that runs antithetical to what a lot of critics of not only Zoran, but of socialist democracies have. They say, well, that's not the job of the government. That's the job of parents, right? And so if parents aren't providing it, then that's on them. Shame on them. And sorry, kid, that's what you get for being born where you're born. So those are two very different, distinct sets of beliefs. A belief that no matter what you're born into, school, you know, funded properly by government, provides you with a base that gives you opportunities, right? That you can work in, that you have a quality education. And that starts early. So universal childcare. But Tim, you nailed it. The critics, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're, you know, critics of the social responsibility of governments to fund schools, or they're critics even within that, dare we say, like liberal critics that are saying, wait, that impacts our kids' education, right? And you're trying to prioritize equity at the expense of students who need advanced instruction, right? AKA my kids, powerful elite parent that has, you know, probably left-leaning views when it's popular, right? Mm-hmm. And in public settings are like, yes, I am a good Democrat, but not when it comes to taking resources and away from my kid and allocating them across other kids whose parents it's their responsibility for them, right? And there's a slippery slope into a shared critique. So, hey, really great to offer our listeners, you know, we'll plug no sponsorship here in connection, though would love to have a conversation with the folks that made the podcast I'm about to recommend. There's a great podcast on NPR, right, called Nice White Parents. And it's about affluent parents in New York City. Ooh. And it's really telling to the power and the politics of public schools in New York City, which have a long history, even in the public school sector, of not being so equitable, but championing a message of equity. So it's a great podcast called Nice White Parents. It isn't only talking about white folks. You know, they do a great job of saying just this is more about affluent New York culture, right? That also has a strong tinge of whiteness to it historically here. But, you know, really looks at, well, do we really care about kids or do we mostly care about our own kids? Mm-hmm. And those things get those things start to contradict when you look at things like, hey, we are going to invest in a public education system that provides, you know, a high floor for every single kid. And the, and I'll even pump Zohran's tires a little more here too and say his policies align in this spirit all the way through higher ed. He's a strong advocate that like City University in New York, CUNY, our colleagues are there, man. I have friends who went to grad school there doing amazing work in education. He believes that if you're a New York City kid, right, that that school should be free of tuition for you to attend.
Okay.
And I know a lot of New Yorkers who believe that. And I know some who are going to think, not, no way. I had to pay my way through there. So the next generation should also have to pay. It's like, hey, hold on. Right. Let's practice what we preach. Right. If you believe in strong democracy, you believe in educational equity, you believe especially in, and we'll go away from the higher ed example and back to children, that kids should be given an opportunity to make the most of whatever situation they're in. Well, then you do that through strong public school systems. And I like this idea that the gifted kindergarten program, you know, let's get rid of that in lieu of making sure every kindergartner or every preschooler or every young person has a great start.
Can I ask a question?
Jacob.
Oh, sorry, Tim, do you want to go?
No.
Okay, please. Here's my question. Well, if we're in New York City and we've got the youngest Rockefeller and we've got little young Johnny Lupinacci, the youngest Rockefeller, if he thinks he's gifted or he's an elite, he wants to go to a nice school, he can go to Andover Prep like George Bush and his parents can pay for that. But the gifted program is here to help a guy who doesn't have a lot of money get that same sort of treatment to go through the system. Is that not true or am I missing something on that?
I'm going to take a different spin on that for you, Jacob, and see if this makes sense with your question. Johnny points out something that actually you'd say, okay, wealth and what wealth can provide. You're absolutely right, Jacob. You know, rich people have options. They don't have to rely on the New York City public schools, right? But what's happened over time here with this New York City gifted kindergarten program, it in and of itself has become its own kind of exclusive place for special people and special families, that it's kind of gotten its own sense of whatever, you know, awesome prep school that you could go to. Getting accepted as a kindergarten to the New York City gifted program maybe is just as good, maybe even better than some of the more private elite schools. But, you know, to point out, how would you actually make kindergarten, you know, equitable? Well, it's going to take funding. And first of all, I'm going to point out and make this some form of a speculation, just in case I'm wrong. But the amount of wealth that's concentrated in the roughly 1,500 to 2,000 kids that get into gifted and talented kindergarten in New York City, they probably have enough money to fully fund incredibly awesome kindergarten, and so that it would be great for all public kids. But I'm going to bet they would never want to do that, because the reality is that what makes this program the way it is and why people are so ruffled is because it was an exclusivity, a special place that had kind of created its own sense of, you know, this is mine, this is ours, and you're taking away something special for us that actually gave our kids extended privileges. And the reality is that, Johnny, you're right. What I care about is my kid. And so I'm not going to fully fund equitable, awesome education for all kids, because then my kid would just be one of all kids. And my kid ain't one of all kids. Jacob, does that help?
I don't have any kids, so I have no horse in this race. What I could tell you, Dr. Tim, is that as an incredibly gifted person myself, I think that this treatment should be extended in as much as possible to all kindergartners, and especially at those the younger levels. I think it's crazy that you would break people up like that. Kids should have a nice, good standard of education.
Mm. Well, and here's the thing, Tim, even though I'm going to be, you know, more advocating for, I'm not sure that these programs should exist at all. All right. That's a little extreme. In the case of New York City, there just is overwhelmingly strong evidence that you can't determine this.
Yeah.
In kindergarten. Right. So they're saying like, hey, let's just put a pause on all these programs till third grade.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe then they're saying like, hey, third grade, there is an appropriate, you know, time in which, you know, the assessments, I'm going to pluralize that. So hopefully it's not just, you know, take this one test and here you go, you're in the accelerated program. But the assessments say, hey, there's a need here for some accelerated learning for a group of students, and they're going to be served in a different capacity and, you know, in this particular grouping. And again, I'm not a big fan of it. That's probably controversial, even in a agree to disagree kind of way. I could be wrong about this thing. I'll admit that. But what seems to be, you know, consensus, and we lean on that a lot here.
There we go.
Is that you can't determine this in kindergarten. So no one's telling the parent, you know, that's against this, say, hey, but my kid's gifted, you know. It's like, well, actually, we don't necessarily know that in a very real way until maybe later in their educational career, and they'll still have those opportunities ahead of them. But for now, like, they're just kind of like all the other kids, and keep doing the great work that you're doing, because, yep, they know their ABCs a little bit faster than maybe their neighbor does. Great. Let's get them all together, keep them together for a few years, and see what happens.
My neighbor. You bringing up my neighbor, Johnny Lupinacci.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
You got a neighbor in New York City.
I got to tell you, though, you're talking about my kid, and my kid, Johnny, is gifted and is special. Oh, I don't know. What are we going to do with all of these smart kindergartners? Maybe we'll figure it out when we get back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Bam, 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 bam. Woo! Man. You guys thought there was an extra guitar. That was Johnny Lupinacci. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Ripping through the scales.
Through. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators. Talking education. Talking gifted education. More specifically, New York City kindergarten giftedness. Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with gifted kindergartening. Man, we've had a discussion kind of all over the place on this. I'm going to guess, though, that between all three of us that we are really, you know, adamantly and very strongly saying, like, hold on, kindergarten? No. We got to at least stop the sorting and give these kids a little bit more time to potentially developmentally, you know, show some things that maybe a four-year-old isn't showing, but maybe when they're eight, holy crap, can I say that's we all agree you can't tell if a kindergartner is gifted, or maybe you can, but maybe you can't know kids who will be gifted, potentially, is what we're saying. How's that?
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Leave Jacob. The children alone, Tim. They're just trying to eat their paste and learn their letters. We don't have to treat all the kindergartners like Russian figure skaters and drill them from the time they're born into these perfect products.
Nice. Yeah, agreed. Let the utes be utes.
Exactly.
What is it? David Bowie and these children that you spit on. You got, come on, nobody can finish that.
Well, I was hoping you could because you just said the weirdest part.
Well, you know, we're talking about Changes, an incredibly awesome song. It was the ending quote of The Breakfast Club, David Bowie, the lyrics from Changes. These children that you spit on as they try to change their world. Come on.
Are immune to your consultations?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, right?
But you don't sound like David Bowie. Can't you? Do you have
I don't have a David Bowie voice. No, I can't. I got a good neighbor voice, but I don't have a David Bowie voice. Sorry about that.
Right before the changes.
There, see, Johnny's got that voice. They're kids, you know, as you said, Jacob, my God, what are we doing? If anything, let's really take seriously childhood and acknowledge that every 4-year-old, if that's when they're going to start kindergarten or 5-year, deserves a gifted education, regardless of what their standardized test score might be later on in life, because we're talking about early childhood experiences, and there is nothing in the research that says you get anything but benefit when you provide more and more opportunity the younger and younger the kids are. And
early interventions, man.
That's
early
it, Johnny. You point out about this all the time. It's an investment too. I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
Make kindergarten great again. There we go. What do you guys think?
Well, Jake? You know, we talked about it when we talked about the importance of Sesame Street and really great shows like that. I mean, all pours into our childcare system, right? And the more we support caring about children.
I'll try to get those Make Kindergarten Great Again hats ready for the next week. So I'll see what we can do in the merch department.
Make Kindergarten. That doesn't come off like a MAGA or a MAHA.
doesn't flow off the tongue so well.
Oh, I think, and Johnny, to point out too, like, this happens too, is that this will end up becoming an issue for people that they make their voting decision on. And the reality is, here's like, you want to be a great democratic citizen. There isn't any politician who's going to tick every box for you. It's kind of looking at this because Johnny, actually his proposal, as you point out, for early childhood healthcare and things like that. Come on, man. I think you're right. If he pulls that off, wow, can you imagine what they call kindergarten readiness? Can you imagine how many more kids would be, quote, ready for kindergarten? Wow. I don't know. So much more, though. But you know what time it is, though, Johnny? It's time for your moment of zen. You do things again and again, and nothing happens. It requires patience, but not a passive patience, the patience of activism.
Thanks, listeners, for being patient with us today and listening to the broadcast. Remember to grab great podcasts chocked full with all kinds of fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, And of course, you can always find us at the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Friday for producer Jacob's choice. And just like today, you can tune in and listen to Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli government told hostage families that the process of releasing their loved ones will begin Monday morning. President Trump heads to the region today as the ceasefire continues to hold. ABC's Ian Pannell has the latest from Tel Aviv.
According to the Prime Minister's office, President Trump's going to meet with the families of the hostages tomorrow before he heads to Egypt, for what's being touted as a peace summit with the leaders of more than 20 countries. For President Trump, this wasn't just about Gaza. This is part of his plan to try and achieve a wider peace settlement across the Middle East.
Saturday, the president told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to ensure the members of the military are paid October 15th as the government shutdown continues. The Northeast is bracing for a nor'easter, a state of emergency in effect in New Jersey, where strong winds, heavy rain, and coastal flooding is possible. And Hollywood is mourning Oscar winner Diane Keaton, who died Saturday at 79. This is ABC.